Hey, thanks for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information on Grace Church, visit us at gracemc.org.
Good morning, everybody. Some of you may remember this, but this goes back to 2010. There were millions of vehicles by this major car manufacturer that had to be recalled because of a stuck accelerator in some of them. This defect resulted in literally billions of dollars having to be spent fixing it, but also settling a lot of lawsuits. When I think about that story, I see a parallel sometimes because, like the vehicles in that crisis, there's a lot of us, myself at the top of the list, that sometimes struggle with living with a stuck accelerator. Can you relate? Life is full. It's go, 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 and it's hard sometimes to slow down. I tend to fall victim to that myth that effectiveness in life requires a frantic pace. There's a cardiologist by the name of Meyer Friedman who first coined a term for this condition. He called it hurry sickness. Hurry sickness is a behavioral pattern of continual rushing and anxiousness. It's when a person feels chronically short of time, thus performing tasks faster and faster with less margin. Hurry sickness is everywhere in our culture. It's why 75% of adults say that their stress levels are higher this year than they were last year. It's why 42% of U.S. workers feel burned out from their jobs. It's why nearly 40% of all Americans rate their mental health as fair or poor. It's why 7 out of 10 teenagers say that they regularly struggle with stress, anxiety, and depression. And it's why almost half of everybody has sleep issues because of stress. By the way, did you know that before the invention of the light bulb, the average person slept 11 hours a night? Doesn't that sound nice? Today it's less than 7. So if you're wondering if you are struggling or you're suffering from hurry sickness, I want to share a few symptoms, okay? This will just brighten all of our day. Irritability. You get frustrated or annoyed easily. Hypersensitivity. Little things quickly tend to escalate into major emotional events. Restlessness, you just can't relax. Workaholism or nonstop activity. You don't know when to stop, or you just plain don't know how to stop. You have to be busy. Emotional numbness. You don't really know how to feel somebody else's pain, or for that matter, your own. Out of order priorities. You let the urgent take the place of the important. Lack of care for your body. Escapist behaviors where you turn to distract your situation by either binge eating or over drinking or watching way too much screen time, browsing social media, you name it. Neglect of spiritual disciplines where busyness squeezes out our soul care. And isolation where we withdraw from people because we just frankly don't have the energy or the desire to engage. Anybody relate to this list besides me? This is not meant to discourage us, but rather to qualify us for an invitation that we're going to look at this morning in Scripture. It's a promise from Jesus for a life of freedom and rest. Our text today is Matthew 11, verses 25 to 28, and just the context for this. You have to realize Jesus has been busy himself leading up to this. The section before it talks about him teaching and healing and doing miracles around the Sea of Galilee, kind of these cities that were known as Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. And so he's coming off of this intense time in those different, that little tour. And then in verse 25, it says this, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children.'" Which begs the question, what are these things that are hidden? Well, they're basically the truths of the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah. In verse 26, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. And in 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom Jesus, the Son, chooses to reveal him. So what this is telling us is that Jesus has divine authority to reveal the Father to people. And that sets up this invitation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this little section of scripture, it starts with Jesus praying to his Father in verse 25. And what you have to realize is with Jesus, faith is a big deal. Like, faith is a huge deal to Jesus. You want to impress Jesus. You want to make him say, I'm amazed. Demonstrate strong faith. We see in the Gospels, there's a couple times where Jesus says he was amazed. And it's because of ordinary people that were demonstrating extraordinary faith. And in this previous section, verses 20 to 24, which we didn't read, Jesus laments and he expresses his anger over these cities that he had spent a lot of time performing miracles. The cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. Cities where people wanted the miracles more than they wanted him. They had let their pride keep them from repenting and following Christ. So in verse 25, Jesus' prayer contains a warning that this kind of pride is what keeps people from experiencing the love and the knowledge of God. And Jesus goes on to describe his relationship with the Father, and he says that only those who are childlike will truly get to know God in the deepest way. And this is because those who are childlike are willing to trust with simple faith. They know they can't do it on their own. So this sets up this incredible invitation in verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So as we look at this little passage this morning, I'd like us to keep this concept of pride tucked away in the back of your mind, because it's going to show up a little bit later in the message, okay? So just tuck that away. The outline for this talk is super easy. It's super simple. It's who, what, how. That's it. Who is the invitation for? What's Jesus inviting us to do? And how do we respond? So let's dive into who. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. So there are a couple of audiences that Jesus is speaking to with this invitation. The first audience is the people of Jesus' time, the very people he was physically talking to. And you have to understand this. The teachers of the law at that time taught that to have a righteous life, you had to obey all of these laws, even though the teachers of the law weren't obeying them all. Now, there were 613 different laws at that time, and it had become a super oppressive culture, producing a cold, arrogant system of self-righteousness. Doesn't that just sound awful? To be around people who feel like they're better than you? In Matthew 23, just a few chapters after this, Jesus actually describes this system as people wearing a heavy load on their shoulders. It was a crushing burden that nobody could live up to. The people he's talking to here were living with this burden, and he had come to offer a different way. Then there's the second audience. The second audience is good news for us because it's us. It's all of us in this room. All of us who are weighed down or broken by the consequences of doing life on our own. Those of us who are hurt because of our own choices, or maybe we're hurt because of choices that have been done to us by other people. Those of us who have maybe let sin make a mess of our lives. And here's the good news. Jesus sees your mess. And he's not repulsed by it. He's actually drawn to it. Jesus invites us to come to him, mess and all. His invitation is for those of us who are pursuing satisfaction through our relationships, our work, our accomplishments, and even our contributions. People like us who, despite our best efforts, still struggle with being content and at peace. Many of us are trying to live up to expectations that are either self-imposed or maybe they're put on us by somebody else. We live with an inner critic in our head that says you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You have to do more. You have to perform. And this causes many of us to make the quality of our work the measure of our worth. And it's never enough. That is a burden we were never meant to carry. So Jesus' invitation is to those of us who have also had unexpected circumstances, much like our friends in the Ukraine, have things happen to them that are just beyond words difficult. Loss and pain and struggle that are heavy. Situations that have left you feeling overwhelmed and exhausted. So when Jesus says, come to me, who is this invitation for? It's for broken people who have made a mess of their lives. It's for strivers and those of us that are driven, who are tired of trying to measure up. It's for those of us who feel burdened and stressed and overwhelmed. It's for those of us that are tired and weary and struggling with hurry sickness. The invitation to come to Jesus is for all of us. Anybody who needs rest for your soul. Which leads to the question, what is Jesus inviting us to? So he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And then he goes on in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what does that mean? Well, the word yoke actually has two meanings in this passage. And the first is probably what many of us are kind of aware of, or maybe we've heard of this, is that a yoke is a wooden brace that you would put on two animals to pull a load or bear a burden. These animals usually were oxen, and they were commonly known as beasts of burden. That's what they called them, beasts of burden. The yoke would attach them together with something heavy to pull or to carry. And together, they would bear the weighty burden. So that's kind of the first meaning of this word yoke. The second is the fact that Jewish rabbis also had a yoke, which was their set of teachings for how to live, how to carry the weight of life with all of its challenges and complexities. There's a Bible scholar by the name of Frederick Bruner who says this. He says, when Jesus offered a yoke, he offered what we might think tired workers would need the least. They need a bed or a vacation, not a yoke. But Jesus realized that the most restful gift he could give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. Because life is a succession of burdens that we cannot get away from. Instead of offering escape, Jesus offers equipment. Jesus tells us that obedience to his teachings, his yoke, will develop in us a new way of carrying life that will give us more rest than the way that we currently tend to live. So in this invitation, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, don't just believe in general. Let me be the master of your life. The disciples in Jesus' day took on the teacher's yoke, the set of teachings, and they followed them. That's what they did with rabbis. Being a disciple meant to focus fully on living out those teachings. And so Jesus says, if you want true rest and freedom, let me lead your life. Let my presence dominate your experience. Our culture tells us to not let anything have mastery over us, right? Be free. Do whatever you want. Don't let others tell you what to do. Nobody has the right to tell you what to do. And then Jesus comes along and he walks up and he says, no, make me your master. Take my yoke on you, which implies that we must have taken someone else's yoke first. Here's the truth. None of us are truly in charge of our own lives. All of us have a master running them. Whatever you're living for, whatever is your main focus, is what you tend to be yoked to. For some of us, it's our partner or our spouse. If I put my spouse or my partner as the primary thing I'm yoked to, that they're number one, even though Scripture talks about being yoked when you get married, that's a good thing, I put my partner or my spouse in a position that is way beyond their capacity. They will only let me down and disappoint me because they cannot fulfill all of the needs that I have. For some of us, it's our children. Some of us put our kids first, and we make them our master. We place an unfair burden on them to meet our needs. And over time, not only will I tend sometimes to drift into becoming more controlling and maybe even a little bit smothering, but I am bound to become more and more tired and weary because that's just not the order of what gives life. For some of us, it's work. When I make my job or my career my master, I become weary because the needs of work can never be satisfied. There is always more to do. There's more profit, there's more employees, there's more projects, there's more problems to solve. Work never rests. Some of us, we like to put ourselves as our master. And if I put myself as the master of my life, I just need to know this. Because I am a fallen person, I am allowing my sinful nature to call the shots. And when I do that, even though it may feel good in the moment, that will always enslave me and take over the control of my life. Here's the last one, and this one is really subtle, but technology. Technology can very subtly become our master because it's so integrated into every part of our life. And we're seeing the effects of making screen time our main focus: comparison, discontentment, anxiety, mental health issues, the inability to sleep well, addictive behavior, social isolation, and the list just keeps growing. Technology may be one of the greatest masters of our day, and we don't even realize it. So here's the point. None of us are truly in charge of our lives. All of us have some kind of a master that is influencing them. But here's the difference with Jesus. Jesus is the only master who has the authority, the power, and the desire to put your best interest first. So how do we get access to this rest and this freedom? Which leads to our final point this morning, and that is the how. How do we access this? How do we respond to this invitation? So Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So to understand how to access this incredible gift, we have to go back a few verses to verse 25. And I'll take you back where it says, you have hidden these things, remember these things is who Jesus is, from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Jesus knew something that we tend to forget. Little kids get it. Little kids get it. Whether you come to Jesus for rest, or you come to Jesus for forgiveness, or you come to him for salvation, Jesus reminds us that we come to Jesus as a child. Tim Keller says, little children have two characteristics that we would do well to imitate. First, they know that they're helpless. Little kids are little. They get tired. They need carried. They can't do a whole lot of things. They have a great understanding of their own limitations. They're too short to see. They can't walk very fast or keep up. And they can't take care of themselves, although many times they may try. They need help, and they know it. To come to Jesus starts with realizing that you and I, on our own strength, cannot do it. We can't come to Jesus on our own terms. And it's a process of surrendering this thing called pride. It's admitting, I need help. Here's the second characteristics of little kids that we can learn from. They know they're helpless, and they also are confident that you love them. Little kids run to greet you when you come home from work. They crawl up on your lap. They take risks by climbing on furniture and jumping into your arms. They cuddle with you when you open up a book. And when they throw a tantrum and cry on a plane ride all across the state of Nebraska, which may have happened once, when they nearly drive you crazy because you're trying to console them in front of 150 passengers on this plane, and then suddenly they stop and they grab your cheeks and they look you in the face and they begin to just snuggle. They do that because they know you love them. If there is nothing that you get out of this message this morning other than this, I believe Jesus wants you to know you are loved. You're loved today. You don't have to earn it. He just absolutely is thrilled and delighted by you. There's only one place in the whole Bible where Jesus describes his own heart. And it's cool because it's in this passage. In verse 29, he says, "I am gentle and I am humble in heart." Other translations say, "I am gentle and I am lowly." You know what that means? It means Jesus is accessible. For all of his glory, all of his holiness, all of his supreme power, there is no one in human history who has ever been more approachable than Jesus. There's no hoops we have to jump through. There's no requirements to clean up our act first. Our very burden and our very weariness is what qualifies us to come to Jesus. He absolutely loves you. Some of us have a hard time believing that. Some of us think that we've just messed up too bad. Some of us think that we are the exception to that truth. And all I can tell you is what Scripture tells us. And that is, Jesus didn't come to bring judgment to you. He came to bear judgment for you. Jesus didn't come to bring judgment to you. He came to bear judgment for you. He went to the cross. He was abandoned by the Father so he could bear your sin and my sin and pay the price for it. He took our place so we could be made right with a holy, righteous God. Why? Because of love. And now his sacrifice qualifies him to take away our restlessness so we can have his rest. This is how we know that Jesus loves us, is that he died for us, he rose for us, and we no longer have to prove ourselves to anybody or anything. We no longer have to be mastered by a substitute that overpromises and underdelivers. Our master is love. Our master is Jesus. His yoke is kind. His burden is light. What helium does to a balloon, Jesus' yoke does to his followers. It lifts us up. It carries our load. It brings peace and freedom and this wonderful word called rest. So how do we access it? We access it like a little kid. We set aside our pride and we admit that we're helpless. We place our confidence in his love for us and we simply just receive it. We trust him. It's all about faith. It's about saying yes. Bring it. Bring it, God. So as we close today, I'm going to invite you. This is optional. I'm just going to invite you, if you're comfortable, just close your eyes. Stay where you're at. Just close your eyes. And imagine this. Jesus is sitting next to you, right where you're at. And he leans over and he nudges you and he says, "Hey, I know you're weary. I know the burdens that you're carrying. I know what's on your mind. I understand the hurry that you're dealing with. I understand stuck accelerators. I understand all of that stuff. But I invite you today to come to me. If you feel weary, if you feel burdened, I have some rest for you. So take my yoke on you and learn from me. I want you to know I'm gentle, I'm humble, I'm approachable, and I will give you rest for your soul. You need to know my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Let's pray. Father, we just take a moment to look to you and to say thank you for giving us your Son in a posture that gives us an opportunity to come to you just the way we are. Lord, there are so many people in this room, and I'm sure there's a ton of burdens. I'm sure there's a ton of concerns and worries. There's a ton of weariness represented here. We carry a lot. And Lord, I think today you just want to remind us that you are with us and you're for us. And you want to carry it with us and for us. So today we release control. We set aside our pride. We admit we're helpless, but we also confess that we know you love us. And today we just invite you in and we say yes to your invitation. Lord, if there's some of us maybe that have never really started a relationship, maybe this is new. Lord, we come to you and say yes to you as our Savior. Lord, forgive us. Set us free. And send us where you want us to go, yoked together with you. And we look forward to the great things you're going to do in and through us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.